The Bible is full of third day stories. In Genesis 42, Joseph's brothers are put in prison and are released on the third day. In Esther 5, when she realizes what the king's plan are for the people of Israel, she fasts for 3 days. And on the third day, she goes before the king and she's welcomed. Third day stories are interesting. Friday's tough. On Fridays, there's suffering and there's pain and there's sorrow and there's weeping. On Friday, Jesus bore our pain, our sins on a cross. And Saturdays are a day of silence when God is quiet. It must have been an interesting day. Saturdays are hard. Because they are prayers prayed but not yet answered. It's the between time between present time and what is not yet. But oh, Sundays. Sundays are celebration. Sunday is why we're here. Without the resurrection, there would be no reason for us to be here. Now, there's a problem with three-day stories. You know what it is? We don't know where we are in that whole process. You know, Friday sometimes seems to last forever, doesn't it? You know, it just keeps happening. And sometimes Saturday seems to go forever. When's God going to answer my prayers? When's He going to respond to me? And sometimes it takes us a while to realize Sunday is coming. There is a hope that goes beyond all hope. In the early church, they developed a greeting that reminded themselves about Sunday. It's very simple. It was their celebration of the resurrection. The resurrection Sunday, it would go like this. It's been for more than 2,000 years. Jesus Christ is risen, and the congregation would respond, He is risen indeed. Now, we're going to do that, but I want to coach you a little bit. Now, I'm from Kentucky, and you know, in Kentucky, basketball is a big deal. If you ever go to a game, you hear "Go Big Blue," it's really loud. I'm sure you hear at Hoosier Land loud cheers and Boilermakers loud cheers. But what I want you to know is I want you to respond like He's alive, okay? So I'm going to say, "Christ is risen," and you're going to say, "He is risen indeed." Okay? Let's try it. Christ is risen. You guys did pretty good. We're going to do it one more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen indeed. On Friday, Jesus was arrested. His great love for us led Him to the cross. And on the cross, think about this, the amazing heart of God stopped beating. On Friday, it looked like it was just another would-be Messiah, just another movement where people got excited for a little while. Maybe this is a promised one. There were many of those in Jesus' day. But evil sometimes seems to overcome all the good in the world. And for many people, that's what they thought. It's just another sad story. But on Sunday, death loses its power. On Sunday, hell is defeated. On Sunday, the tomb is empty and hope is alive. On Sunday, the soldiers and rulers are aggravated. On Sunday, the prophets are vindicated. On Sunday, hope soared and love won. On Sunday, we found something beyond this life to live for. On Sunday, we found something beyond this life to die for. And on Sunday, we found something beyond our death to hope for. If there's anything dark or broken to celebrate in this world, it's the resurrection of Jesus. He is indeed our hope. Everything changes on Sunday. Listen to what the Bible says about this day. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Don't be afraid. You got some creature in white clothes sitting on top of a rock, and the body's gone, and he tells you not to be afraid. I'm sure they were afraid. But he says he's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. That's an interesting term, isn't it? Afraid, yet filled with joy. And ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Now remember, these women are devastated. This rabbi that they loved, who had elevated women to a position they had never held before, who honored them, who elevated children to a position they had never held before, and honored them. They had fallen in love with this rabbi, and they had watched him die cruelly on a cross. And they had come to do the only thing they knew to do. They came to anoint his body. And the tomb is empty. And there's this angelic creature, the rabbi that they love, the one they saw die. They're told that he is risen from the dead. What profound statement does Jesus offer when he encounters these women? When he sees them finally on the road, what does he say? Greetings. That'd be like saying, how y'all doing? You know? Why so casual? Well, I think Jesus wants them to know, I told you this was going to happen. I told you death could not hold me. I told you. If God can create life, why should we be surprised that he can recreate life? Dale Bruner, a great New Testament scholar, shares about a children's story that he shared in children's time in the service. And he had shared this story from this passage. And he asked the kids, what's the first thing that Jesus said when he encountered the women? And one little girl says, wave her hand, I know. He goes, okay. She goes, ta-da! Ta-da! What else are you going to say? Greetings. Ta-da! Jesus really offers no explanation for what's happened. Instead, he gives them an assignment. Now you have something to do. Sunday changed everything. But that doesn't mean we quit. Now you have something to do. I find it amazing that Jesus continually calls the wrong people to do work. Have you ever noticed that? He's really bad at choosing people. You know, rabbis, this is the way it worked in Jesus' day. If you were a rabbi, the best of the best would bring their resumes to you and say, could I follow you around and would you teach me? That was the educational system. People like fishermen and folks, they had no chance, you know. They couldn't buy their way in like they do today. You couldn't do that. And so that's what rabbis did. You know, they got the best. But Jesus throws that whole thing around. He doesn't wait for them to come to him. He goes to them, and he goes to the people that nobody else would choose. Who in the world would have chosen Peter? You know, Jesus did. And it's interesting how he does that. He calls the unqualified, so we shouldn't be surprised that he does it again on Resurrection Sunday. He tells the women to go tell the men that he's alive and going before them. Now, ladies, I don't want to get in trouble, but this was way before gender equality. Women had no voice. If 10 women saw a man commit a crime, their voice would not be heard in trial. The only thing that mattered is there a male witness. If there was no male witness, the case was thrown out. Women had no voice. But realize, Jesus is still teaching, even now, on Resurrection Sunday. He's saying, I came to include everybody. Everybody matters in my kingdom. True to form, when the women tell the disciples, they don't believe them. It says, but the disciples did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Later in Luke 24:36, Jesus appears before the disciples. Ta-da! I'm here. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the conversation after Jesus left between the disciples and the women? Jesus is risen. See, I told you so. You know, you didn't listen to us. On Sunday, everything changed, but not in the way we think it changed in North America. You see, here in this wonderful country, Easter's a holiday. Resurrection Sunday is a holiday. We know life is eternal. We wear our best clothes, or sometimes best clothes. In fact, some people believe that Easter is kind of a crutch for those people who are afraid to die. It's a nice story about living forever, and everybody lives happily ever after. Actually, nothing could be further from the truth. Did you catch the phrase in Matthew? The women were afraid, yet filled with joy. If you read the resurrection stories, the striking fact is, even though they're joyous that it's happened, they're still scared. They're afraid on Resurrection Sunday. In fact, some scholars say they seem more afraid than ever before. Nowhere in the resurrection stories do you hear things like, now you don't have to worry about dying. Did you read the headlines this morning? Shylocka, 142 Christians killed in a bombing of 3 churches. Easter Sunday morning. Today, 142 Christians died. It's not a safe world. Mark's gospel paints an even more fearful tone. It says in verse 8 of chapter 16 of Mark, and in the earliest manuscripts, Mark ends at verse 8. And it says this, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. In John's gospel, after the resurrection and the appearance of Jesus, the disciples meet behind closed doors. Why? Because they were afraid. What's going on here? Most of us never think about fear on Easter Sunday morning, right? What's to be afraid of? He's alive. The reality is, Rome is still very dangerous. The disciples are smart enough to know that when they crucify the leader, they usually take out the people with him. And they know that they're next. They're going to clean up this mess. Notice when Jesus appears in his resurrected form, he does not say to the women or to the disciples, the hard part's over. He does not say, pack your bags, we're all going to heaven now. On Easter Sunday, it changes everything, but we still live in a Friday and Saturday world. A broken, painful, sinful world. A world where not yet has not yet happened. It's only been 36 hours since Jesus was crucified. And now the tomb was empty. And the leaders of Rome and the temple are furious. Sunday is not Easter brunches. Sunday means that everything Jesus said is true. It means what he said about life, about death, about faith, about love, about forgiveness, about suffering, about losing your life to find it. It's all true. Sunday means the Creator is recreating. In my church, I pastor in Lexington, I had a dear friend named David. David and Marty, David was a dentist. Marty was a linguist person. She speaks 9 languages. And David went on a missions trip with us to Honduras and came back, and he met me in my office, and he said, David, Marty, they said, Pastor, we think we're being called to the mission field in Honduras. I go, really? He goes, yeah, we're selling everything and we're going. They went for 2 years. And when they came back, they started their own mission. And each year, at Christmas time and a couple other times during the year, he does dentistry just long enough to get enough money to go do these things. He goes to the most dangerous parts of the world and shares the gospel. They told us, we deliberately decided not to have children because we must be expendable. Think about that. And this is David's favorite saying. Jesus never said following him would be safe. He did say he would be with us all the way. So Jesus prays his prayer for his disciples in John chapter 17. It's an amazing and frightful and joyful prayer. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. I like what John Ortberg writes. He says, on Sunday, their lives didn't get safer. Their lives got a lot more dangerous. On Sunday, they find out there's something in the world more powerful than danger. They were afraid, but they were filled with joy. I read an article from Voice of the Martyrs a few years ago about a young man who lives in Iran. If you want to be in a place where it's not good to be Christian, it's Iran. And he had gone to the Voice of the Martyrs seeking some funds to buy a printing press to print Bibles in Iran for the underground church there. And as they met with him, they said, sir, we want you to understand, in every case where this has happened in a non-Christian Muslim country, where printing presses have been operated and Bibles have been printed, every person we know has been captured and tortured. And they said the man had such a serene look on his face. He goes, I know. If you do not give me the funds, I will find a way to print the Bibles. He printed the Bibles. 2 years later, he was imprisoned and tortured. Easter's not safe, but it's the most amazing hope the world will ever know. The church I served in Daytona Beach, we had a school there, and so it was a large campus, 150,000 square feet of buildings, and it was kind of hodgepodge. You never quite knew where you were going, and there were so many doors everywhere. I used to carry around a set of keys. I tried to find them, but I don't know where I put them, but there was like 75 keys on this ring, and I never knew what opened what door, but I did know I always left my office door unlocked because I didn't have a key for that door. And some really caring person decided to lock my door so my stuff wouldn't get stolen, and so I couldn't get in. And so we finally found a janitor who had an even bigger ring of keys, and after about an hour of trying every key in the world, they were able to unlock my office door. Doors are amazing. They keep us out, sometimes like frightened disciples. They give us a place to hide. This week we are starting a series called Doors, and we're going to explore how those doors in our life affect us in so many ways. Next week, we're going to talk about the direction door, God's will for your life. Which door do you choose? But today, on Easter, we're reminded the empty tomb, in some amazing way, has opened the closed door to God, because sin closed the door. It broke our relationship with God. But Jesus describes himself as the way, the truth, and the light. And he becomes the pathway, the door to God. Because of Easter, it's possible to know God, the God who opens the door instead of closing the door. I'll see if this door opens. You get to see some chairs. There's an open door that God gives to us, that he opens for us on Easter Sunday. Today, he invites us to allow the blood of Jesus to provide a way of forgiveness for us and to restore fellowship with us. You may have come here today hurt and broken and disappointed. Lots of questions. Your life not with a lot of possibilities. No joy. Because of Easter, we can have peace and joy, even though it's not always safe. It's not safe, but it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. He invites us to open the doors of our lives. And those doors can only be opened from within. I love that passage in Revelation where it says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I don't know how many of you have read the book or seen the movie Unbroken. It's the story of Louis Zamperini. Interesting guy. He was an Olympic runner in the 30s. In the 1940s, he was in the military, and his plane was shot down, and he and two other men were on a raft for 47 days with no food or water. No one had ever survived that long on a raft in the open ocean. One man died, so it's Lewis and the other guy. And they did all kinds of creative ways to stay alive. 47 days praying for a miracle. And finally a ship comes. It's a Japanese ship. And so Lewis is placed in prison where he's tortured over and over again. I mean, when you watch the movie, you go, how much can this guy take? How long can he last? It's a true story. It's an unbelievable story. He's finally set free by our troops, and the movie stops there. But Lewis's story doesn't stop there. And it's not a happy ending there. When Lewis comes home, he is so angry and so hurt and so broken, he starts to drink. And he can't stop drinking. He's drinking a lot. He has this wonderful, wonderful wife. And she knows their marriage is about to break up. And so she goes, "Lewis, there's this new preacher in town. He does these crusades. This is 1940s. His name's Billy Graham. Let's go see him." He goes, "Okay." So they go to the service, and Billy Graham says, "On Friday, Jesus was crucified. On Saturday, he was in the tomb. On Sunday, the tomb was empty." And if you don't know this Jesus, if you would like to encounter this loving Lord who came to forgive your sins and he paid the price for anything you've ever done, I invite you to come forward. Lewis got so mad. "I'm not going to do that." He got up and walked out. But his wife is desperate. She knows their marriage is falling apart. She goes, "Let's go back again." He goes, "Okay, I'll go, but if he does that again, I'm out of here." Goes back to service. If you've ever heard Billy Graham, he's got a couple sermons. He tells you the same thing every time. "Jesus died for you on Friday. He arose on Saturday." And if there's someone here tonight that has never experienced the love and grace of Jesus Christ, I invite you to come. And Lewis is so angry, and he gets ready to go, and his legs won't go. He can't move. He literally can't move. And it remembers that on that boat, on, not the boat, on the raft, wondering if he could survive another day, he prayed to God. He goes, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll give you my life. And as he's sitting in that chair, unable to move, he remembers that promise. And he goes forward. And his life is transformed. It's a glorious life. He becomes an inspirational speaker all around the world. He died in 2014 at the age of 97. Wow. Maybe this is your day to come to Jesus. The door is open. The choice is yours. He made a choice long, long ago to choose you. He chose to die for you. When I was in Clearwater, I was taking some classes at the University of South Florida in rehabilitation counseling. My wife says I've always been in school. I was taking Gestalt therapy. I don't know if you guys know anything about Gestalt therapy, but we were kind of to evaluate each other and see how the counselors are doing. And so there was this one gal that was in my class. She was in one chair. About 10 feet away was another gal. She was sitting in this chair. And the girl in this chair, her life was a mess. She was suffering from addictions and brokenness, and she had a horrible home life, all the stuff. It was all Friday. Man, she's just telling everything that's wrong in her life, and she's just crying softly. And the gal over here who's a counselor said, you know, I would just like to give you a hug. And I'm watching this on video, and you could see the girl, you know, she didn't want to be hugged. And she keeps talking about Friday and how bad it is and how bad her life is. And the counselor over here is going, I know. She goes, nobody loves me. She goes, I love you. And I'd really like to give you a hug. And I'm thinking, this isn't going real well as I'm watching this. And then all of a sudden, I'll never forget this, it's played in my mind a million times. The gal over here springs out of her chair and runs across the room. And she's weeping as she's embraced. And I thought, what a picture of Jesus. That's what he wants to do. His arms are wide open and he says, I really want to hug you. I really want to love you. I really want to forgive you. Just come to me. Just come to me. That's what he wants to do for each of us today. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, as we get ready to sing a song, I don't know these people. I've only been here three Sundays. I don't know their stories, but you know what? I do know their stories because we all have the same story. It's a broken story. It's hurt. It's loss. It's bitterness. It's being stuck and feeling like you're going nowhere. And Lord, I know they need you just like I need you. And Lord, I don't ask that you take them out of the world. I ask that you give them the courage to invite you into their world where your love reigns, even in the midst of fear. May this be the day that courage overcomes fear. In Christ's name. Amen. Just before we sing, I want to get personal with you for a moment. You don't know me from Adam. That's okay. As our worship team sings, I want to give you just a moment. Jesus is alive. He still forgives sins. He still gives us a new identity. He still gives us a reason to live and a hope beyond this present moment. And I just ask you today, have you decided to commit your life to Christ? If you haven't, this is your moment. You can do it in your seat, or you may want to come forward and kneel at an altar or stand. I don't care what you do. We'll pray with you. But this is your day to let Jesus, the resurrected Christ, change your life as we sing.